The TV Cups Podcast, in association with the Thin Blue Mind.
You just stick to tea and sympathy. We'll keep the door open.
Authenticity together.
Oh, one thing I almost forgot.
Welcome to another TV Cops podcast in association with the Thin Blue Mind. Now, many of you will remember last May, we interviewed Rebecca Mankowski-House, who had just released her book. And I'm pleased to say that Rebecca joins us again today to give us an update. Hello, Bex.
Morning, Steve. You okay?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. All good.
Okay. Does it seem like last May since we last talked?
Oh, it's crazy. I can't believe how fast that year's gone.
Yeah, we last spoke and your book had been out for a few weeks at that point. Do you want to remind us about your book and what it's about, please?
Yeah, so I published Police to Paranoia last March, which is my true story of when I was sectioned 16, nearly 17 years ago now, under the Mental Health Act, as a serving police officer for Lancashire Constabulary. So in the book, I talk about kind of what led to my mental health crisis, my arrest by my own colleagues, my 28 days in the psychiatric unit and the abuse that I went through in there, and ultimately my recovery, how I fought to work on my mental health and get my career back in Lancs Police.
I know when we spoke last May, you were focused on just getting the message out there, just getting in front of as many people as possible and see where it goes, and trying to shed a light on potential issues that you faced and the issues that we discussed at the time may still have been going on within the mental health services. Your book, we're 12 months down the line now nearly from its release. How's it looking? What's the sales like?
And really good. It's taken off far more than I ever expected to and dreamed of, really. When I published it a year ago, I never ever thought that it would be so popular and people would buy it even. And just the response I've had from it in general, really, the messages I've had from strangers, people I know, just saying that my books help them with their own mental health and help them to go and get help themselves for the issues that they're going through.
Again, we spoke about it at the time that it's a big step to have put it down on paper, because we both know that although the police may have taken steps in the right direction over the last few years, mental health and the stiff upper lip mantra is kind of embedded within the police, isn't it? And that historically, if you talked about your mental health, you're in some ways weak or not able to cope, or not one of the stronger ones, that kind of thing. So is that the area in which you've received feedback? Because we spoke about it at the time and we said, I wonder whether it's going to bring other people out onto the surface here with an outlet to be able to talk.
Yeah, I think so. Just from the messages that I've received, really, people have said that, again, it's not just police officers, but the messages from the police officers themselves have said that they too have been ashamed that they've gone through anxiety or depression or worry to come forward because they, like you say, they feel like they need to get on with it. But they said from reading my book, it's kind of given them that push that, it is kind of normal that for people to go through these things, and it's helped them to go on to pick up counselling or go to the supervisors to go and tell them that they've been suffering. So, it's definitely helped people, which is what ultimately why I released the book and why I did it, really.
So 12 months on, how do you feel about the book looking back now? Because you've covered that new ground of and the trepidation about releasing it and a ceiling you were breaking through at the time. So looking back, how do you feel now about the book?
I'm so glad I did it. Like when we spoke last year, obviously I was really apprehensive still back then about how it was going to be received, what people were going to think of me. But 100%, I'm glad I did it. It's helped me in a lot of ways. It's helped me to not be ashamed anymore about what happened to me. And I've broke it, and it's helped me to be able to kind of break that stigma down a little bit, really. I know not fully, but it's helped me a lot.
So what has come from that? Obviously, I've seen a few developments on your social media, etc. You've got something called Strength in Struggles. Do you want to talk to me about that and how that came around? And was that in parallel with the book or because of the book?
Because of the book, it's so because of all the messages that I got, and I knew how much my book had helped people, I thought, well, kind of why stop there, really? I need to do something more with the message that I'm trying to put out there with my book. So in December last year, I got my community interest company, SIS Strength in Struggles, passed, which is ultimately from that I've developed peer-to-peer support groups around East Lancashire. I've currently got four going at the moment, for men and women, separate ones for men and women and mixed ones. So it's to offer that peer-to-peer support for people suffering from any kind of mental health issues, however great or small that may be. And within that as well, I offer guest speaking locally and around the country, based on my story, and around my mental health and recovery, and just to kind of promote that recovery is possible, and kind of that's what I base my guest speaking around.
Strength in Struggles, is it just for police officers then, or is it open to the wider public?
No, it's open to wider public, any organisation. I'm happy to take my guest speaking anywhere and everywhere, and my peer-to-peer support groups are open to absolutely anyone that wants to come, and they're all free. I've managed to get a couple of grants to fund my company now, so which means I can offer everything for free.
Oh, marvelous. So what does it look like then? Strength in Struggles, you say, if I wanted to come along to one, obviously I'm based towards the Chorley area of Lancashire. What's available to me and what would it look like? Is it like a round table and people just discuss the issues?
People can just turn up. I don't need confirmation beforehand, but people can just turn up. And I've kind of based my sessions around what the people are struggling with and what people feel that they would benefit from getting out of a group. So I have a little suggestions box, and I want people to put things in it about what they feel with, for example, guest speakers that might come in. And give talks. So I've got a few lined up now, even yoga, I've got someone coming in, just alternative methods of dealing with stress, really. So I've got someone coming in to teach yoga, mindfulness, someone from the local Buddhist center in Burnley is coming in to teach meditation. So it's kind of looking at different ways that people might have wanted to try, but are too worried to kind of step out the comfort zone and go to these places, but it's just a sample of different things that people can try to manage their own stress and anxiety, really.
Okay, so I think the biggest step there is just crossing the threshold, isn't it? And getting into the room and taking that step. What would you say to anyone thinking about it of coming along who's maybe suffering from the mental health issues and a bit scared, a bit frightened about coming into a room full of people and it's going to be talking about your feelings and stuff, especially blokes. Of any age really, but I'm sure you're targeting people from 30 to 50 maybe or more. But yeah, what would you say to those people to give them that extra little push across the line, across the threshold?
I totally appreciate that it's a very daunting feeling coming into a group, like you say, full of strangers, and it might be the first time that these people have actually spoken, like, out about their issues that they're struggling with. But all I'd say is just come along and try it. It's totally informal, really relaxed. You can come, you don't even have to speak. You can just come to a session and see what it's all about, and sit back and listen to other people. If you want to talk, that's absolutely brilliant. But like I say, if you just want to just sit there and just see what it's all about, that's absolutely fine.
I want to come along to one of your sessions, and I think if anything, it might give me extra tools to help me with mental resilience. I think the message that you portray is that you don't have to be at the point where you're suffering. You can be at the point where you're just looking for ways to cope and to add to your mental resilience, or you know you've got a tough time coming up in life, or you're going through it and you just think, you know, might just need a little bit of extra help.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I suppose, yeah, it's a good point that you don't have to get into that crisis before you do seek help. There's ways of kind of preventing it, if that makes sense, to, like you say, arm yourself with the tools to help you before you get to that point. I wish I'd had something like that when I had my crisis. I wish I'd been offered a group where I could just go and try these different things.
It's mental health intervention, I think.
Yeah.
There is a big shortage of across the country. I'm not doing anyone disservice here when I say mental health provision in this country is at crisis, not only the organisation itself, but that's when the intervention seems to happen.
Yeah.
Is when people are at crisis. So dialing that back and, as they say, going upstream of that and finding places where you can just help. Again, what's the reception you found from that? How are the groups going? How many have you run?
So I started them in January. I've got regular people coming back, but it, like you say, it's getting your foot through that door, isn't it? And I'm not being stereotypical, but it is harder for men sometimes to come. I'm positive that I think once it gets around word of mouth, more people will attend.
Yeah, I get the feeling that a lot of resilience from your part is needed. And knowing you a little bit, Bex, you've got that in spades. But it's just an extra person every meeting. It's just one step forward, isn't it?
100%. And I always said, Steve, that if one person turned up to my group initially, it's a success for me, because it's one person that's had the courage to come, and it's one person that hopefully I can help or signpost to somewhere else.
I live near Chorley. Can I come to an Accrington or a Great Harwood?
Absolutely. Yeah. People that have come to the men's one aren't local. They've come from Preston. People are travelling to come to them.
Where can I find out more details? If someone's listening to this now and they think, well, that sounds like a good idea, I might give it a go.
Yeah. So I've got a website called SIS, and then it's -strengthinstruggles.org. So all my information about my groups is on there. And social media, Facebook, SIS Strength and Struggles. I put all information probably a week before the next group, just explaining what's involved and times, etc., just reminding everyone.
Okay. And I'm just thinking off the top of my head now, I'll put a link on our website as well, if that's okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because people might come to our website after listening to this. So yeah, if you go to the homepage of the tvcops.co.uk website as well, you'll see the links for Strength and Struggles as well. So are they tell me when they are. Are they every Tuesday, Thursday, once a month, twice a month?
Yeah, so the men's one at Reed is every first Monday of the month. The women's one at Worley is every last Tuesday of the month. And the one at Accrington Town Hall is 10 to 12 in the morning every Monday at the moment. That's a weekly group, and 1 till 3 p.m. every Monday at Great Harwood at Bank Mill House.
Great. So there's lots of options. So is there a difference you found between the men and the women's groups?
Probably not at the moment, because the people that have turned up to the men's, they've obviously been able to come and pluck up the courage to come. So they've been very open, to be honest. They've been very open about the struggles. So, yeah, similar.
Good, good, good. You touched on there about doing some guest speaking roles. Has that come directly from people reading the book and you receiving invites?
Yeah, so my first one that I did in South Wales Police, for South Wales Police, I was asked to go to their Women's Wellbeing Mental Health Day. So I took a trip to South Wales, and yeah, it was really good. There was a lot of people there, and it was obviously the first big talk that I'd done. But I did a presentation, again, based around my own experiences. And yeah, I had some really positive feedback from it. It was good.
Was that senior leaders in police, or was it just open to
everyone? It was everyone, really. Everyone.
Because I always think that a talk like that would get someone at the end coming to you and going, oh, thanks very much. This is what I've been, and just open a floodgate for somebody. Have you yeah. found that?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the end of my presentation, I had like a half an hour for question and answers, and there were people in that room, a lot of questions, but again, a lot of people that stood up and talked about their own mental health. And it was nice because at the end, one of the senior leaders came up to me and she said that was kind of amazing, really. She said, I've known these people 15, 20 years that have been in this room, and I never even knew that they'd gone through what they'd gone through. So by me being honest and talking about my own struggles kind of opened up that conversation, and so many people talked about their own struggles. And for me, that was amazing, really.
Just imagine 15 years ago that happening.
Yeah.
In any room full of police officers.
I know.
The journey that mental health awareness in the police has gone on, I just think you're taking that baton forward. Just absolutely running with it. And it needs, if you don't mind me saying, needs somebody who has gone through it and definitely been through those really yeah. dark times. You come out the other side and say, I was where you are. I had 35 cases on the computer screen and no time to do it, and no time to do the uni work, etc. And things are getting on top. And, you know, you just yeah. need somebody to have gone through it. And
definitely. I don't think you can beat lived experience, really, because that was one of the feedback in the women's group the other week. They said that they've been to counsellors and it's not been for them. And it is for some people. It helped me counselling. But unless you've been through it yourself, it's hard to understand. So for them at that group, she said it was really refreshing and good to speak to someone with lived experience. So I knew what it felt like to want to end my life, because that's how bad I was at one point, and I got it. Do you get what I mean? And for her, it was good to hear that. It wasn't like just nodding my head. It was good to hear that I totally understood what she was going through.
The way I see it is, and you're right, the counselling is very valuable, etc. But there's nothing better than talking to a cop about cop stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And we spoke about this last time. You think you're on your own. You think you're the only one who's in this really dark place. And why is it me? And I'm the only one that's not struggling. And I'm the only one that's not keeping my head above water. And to hear from you would just smash all those myths. It really, really would.
Yeah.
So how long does the talk last for?
It lasts anything from an hour to an hour and 15. And then I allow question and answers after. But yeah, I would love to kind of get out there as much as I can to, like I said, any organisation whatsoever, they think it would benefit them. The NHS have contacted me to go to Buckinghamshire.
Marvellous. I can just see this growing and growing.
Fingers crossed.
So if I was interested in booking you to come and talk,
yeah,
what do I need to do? Does it cost me anything?
Yeah, it costs. And again, I do charge, just because I've left victim support now. Last time we spoke, I worked for victim support part time, but because of the demand now for my groups and talks, I've left that now. So this is my sole income now, my business. I do charge, but that will be upon request, the costing, really, around expenses and stuff like that.
And you're willing to go anywhere in the UK?
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah, I'll travel anywhere to go.
I suppose if someone sent you two tickets to go to the Bahamas or Florida to talk to somebody, you might consider
it. Yeah, I think my arm could be twisted, Steve. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, fantastic. So obviously you've got your groups, your talk, and you touched on it there. That is now your full-time work.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you see this going? If we were to talk again in 2025... Mm-hmm. What would you want to be talking about? Where do you hope for it all to go?
Yeah, so I'd like to open as many kind of groups as I can. Obviously, I won't be able to run all those groups, but my ultimate kind of plan for the future would be the people that attend the groups, once they feel comfortable, they could maybe facilitate that group for me and kind of give them a bit of responsibility and grow their confidence with that as well. So that's what I'd like to do. And obviously take my guest speaking as far as I can around the country. But I'd love to as well teach new recruits coming into the police. It was touched on that at South Wales Police. They mentioned that they think it would be really beneficial for new recruits for me to go on one of the training courses, have me in for an hour's input and just teach them about kind of resilience, about mental health, the warning signs to look out for, PTSD, things like that. So I'd like to, speak to people early on before they kind of get out there and start their careers as well.
That's a great idea. I can just think myself, if during my initial training someone came in and said, be careful of this, be careful of that, and try and give me tools for my own mental health resilience, that would have been so helpful. That would have been probably the best guest speaker I probably would have ever received.
Yeah.
So how is that? Are you finding any traction with any particular forces where, you know, talks are underway, or am I?
Yeah, I've approached Lancashire Police and I'm in talks with their wellbeing department at the moment to see whether that would be something that they would be interested in. And again, the convalescent homes within Lancashire, so St. Michael's Lodge, I've been in talks with them in the past about whether, again, it's something I could go on their wellbeing courses and do an input. So, yeah, there's a few things in the pipeline, just kind of waiting on them really to get back to me.
Okay, great. And hopefully then when we talk again next year, you'll be able to tell us all about it. So going back to the book then, is there any development on, not necessarily a sequel, but is there any development on it being, I don't know, made into a TV series or anything like that? Is there any, obviously NDAs being applicable. Can you talk about any developments regarding the book?
Yeah. Again, without giving too much away, I am in talks with a film company at the moment who are interested in my book and want to kind of take that further with possible drama on TV. Again, very early days. But yeah, I'm excited about that as to whether it can get turned into something. Because I think it would, again, send a really good message out there if it was turned into something. There's nothing better than a true story if you watch on a drama, especially with mental health, because it's just massive, isn't it? So I would love to kind of get it out there on TV as well.
We've been involved in a couple of real life kind of dramas with Channel 5, Channel 4 through a production company called ITM Productions, who are very keen in that real life story. People like real life drama, and obviously not to make it a spectacle in the wrong way.
Yeah.
But if you made your book into a film and then said, that's actually a true story.
Yeah.
People will go, no, you're lying. You're only saying that. Mm. You're a bit like the Coen brothers. You're just saying that for artistic effect. Because it's one of the books that I read where you can actually see the scenes in your head. I could actually see the TV scenes in my head, especially around when you were sectioned.
Yeah.
Those very vivid scenes have obviously come from a place of trauma from yourself. Yeah. I could picture them, so I'm signed up. You know, I'm ready to watch this. Obviously, Brilliant. we couldn't do the police advice because they've got another expert there with you.
Yeah. But no, I'm sure we could have you.
I'm glad that you're in conversations with somebody, because somebody reading that book from having worked with script executives and script producers, people involved in the commissioning of a program. Yeah. I know that some people would love that story, absolutely love it, and the fact that it's a true story as well.
Thank you.
So you've kind of got three or four things all going on at the same time. How do you manage? Is there enough time in the day for you to keep on top of it?
Yeah, there is now. I've left my job and, I can solely concentrate on this now. So, I am managing it. I forgot there is another thing. Apart from my groups, I run a walk and talk session once a month as well. That, and again, I put the details of that on my website, the dates and where it's going to be a month in advance of the next walk. So, again, that's just to get out and about. There's two trained counsellors that come on that with me that have very kindly offered to do that for free for me. So they come along as well. And again, it's just getting out and about, having a chat with like-minded people. And you even get a cheeky coffee and cake at the end, which is a good incentive to come along.
So if I wanted to take part? We're not walking for like 8 hours and doing like 15 miles or something. Are we going up Pendle Hill or?
Oh, an hour's walk. So say the first one we met at Townley Park, go around the park, go to the garden centre after for a coffee and cake. And then, yeah, one will be in Barley where Pendle Hill is, but not go up Pendle Hill. It's kind of tailored to suit everyone, really. So it's not too strenuous.
So I don't need all the kit. I don't need to have been walking for 10 years or...
Not at all.
Have me walking sticks and...
At all.
Have a warm
Very
coat.
Easy walk.
Have a warm coat, come along.
Yeah.
And just chat. And there's no obligation on anyone to engage. You can just come
Not at all.
Walk.
Just come even if you want to come along for a bit of company. Just for an hour and a half, whatever, a bit of company. Like say, there's no pressure on anything.
Sorry, but where do I find the details of that? Is it on your website again?
Yeah, so again, it's on that website and it's on my social media as well, on my Facebook page.
Tell us about your Facebook page and social media if people want to find out more about you.
Yeah, so my Facebook page is SIS Strength in Struggles and then my business website is sis-strengthinstruggles.org. And I've got another website, rebeccajhouse-author.co.uk. There's stuff about my book on there and obviously the developments of what I'm doing with my book on that website.
Okay, well, I'll put all those links on our website as well. So if anybody wants links, go to the homepage of tvcops.co.uk and there'll be a Strength in Struggles button there for you to click on and it'll take you through to all the different websites and social media accounts and give you an update on what you and where you are. It looks like it's going to be a bright 12 months ahead.
I hope so. Yeah.
And please hold me to it, but I want to come to one of your sessions and I'll have a walk around Townley Park and you can buy me a cup of tea at the end
of it. That'll be good.
Or
sounds
something
good.
Like that. Anything else? Going forward, in any other way that you were surprised on how the book was received or, you know, how it's impacted on your personal life, etc.? Or has there been any kind of uptake or any questions being asked of the mental health institutions that were involved? Are we shining any lights on that?
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. So how long ago now? It's probably about 6-7 weeks ago. So I made an official complaint to the NHS about what happened to me, and I didn't think I would hear back from them, to be honest. But they did respond, and they offered me a meeting with the complaints department and a senior mental health practitioner from a psychiatric unit. So 7 weeks ago, I went with my wife, and we had that meeting. It was an hours meeting, and I wouldn't say anything's particularly come out of it, but it was positive for me because it was a chance for me to get everything off my chest and explain to them exactly how I was treated. And I wanted it all logging. So all that is officially logged now. But the thing that surprised me from that meeting is you only get 12 months to come forward with a complaint within the NHS, whether that be any kind of abuse, which for me, I found it really hard to get my head around because, like me, it took me 16 years to come forward and properly speak out about the treatment that I received, which I'm sure is the case for a lot of people in these situations, through shame, not being believed and things like that. So I wasn't very impressed with that you do only have 12 months. And the thing that I wanted to get out of that meeting was kind of to be heard. Which I was, the people were nice and it was kind of another door for me to close, another part of my recovery that I needed to do, really.
I'm just staggered that the 12-month limit on it because that would suggest that you've then become well and able to analyse and make a complaint within 12 months of something so significant happening to you.
I know.
Because you might still not be well.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially we know as cops, don't we, that we've dealt with jobs where historic jobs, it takes people decades to come forward.
Like you say, at the very least, you've had the conversations and it's been able to close a door for you. So do you find that the book has been therapeutic? Because you were hoping 100%. That it would be. And obviously we talked about the writing of it and how that helped you getting it on the page. Have you found that in the last 12 months that it has been as therapeutic as you wanted it to be?
Yeah, probably more so, to be honest. In the beginning, it did, I'll be totally honest, it did spark things up for me a little bit. I got a couple of panic attacks last year. My anxiety flared up a little bit again. But I think that was because I had relived it and it kind of consumed me for a while because it was all new, me releasing the book, people wanting to talk to me about things. It brought everything back to the forefront for me. But as the months have gone by, it's definitely helped me, yeah.
Final question for you, Bex. Probably the most important one. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Like I say, I still suffer from anxiety every now and again. But we spoke about it last time. Running's massive for me. Big stress relief. Go out on a run, I'm okay after that. I think I know my warning signs. If I was ever to be in a place again where I'm worried about things, I will talk to people. That's my therapy, really, running and talking. So yeah, at the moment, yeah, I'm in a good place.
Good. Fantastic. Glad to hear it. So shall we speak again in 2025?
Definitely, yeah. See where we're up to then.
And you can dial in from Hollywood or wherever you are.
I wish.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Bex. Give my love to your wife, Leanne.
Yeah,
and,
we'll do.
We'll speak soon. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks very much for having me.